It's already 7:15 now. Many of you already know from the past times. So, ये वो क्या? मुझे लगा बहुत कम लोग हैं तो कहीं का जरूरत है. Okay. क्या आगे नहीं जा रहे इससे? So we decided that today we will share something from lessons of Namacharya's life. So I know this first row knows what is Namacharya, who is Namacharya. So any one of you who know who is Namacharya? Any idea? आपको पता है? नहीं. So what does the word Namacharya means? Because the topic was lessons from Namacharya, right? There's a person who was called Namacharya. So, you don't know who is the personality, but what is the meaning, what do you think it will, the word suggests? Acharya means guru, right? The person who has shown by his own example, that's called as Acharya. Those who teach others by his own acharan is called Acharya. They don't just speak, but they show them in their life. There, that's why they are called as Acharyas. And he is called Namacharya because he is the one who showed by his life the topmost level of importance of chanting in this age of Kali. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally named him Namacharya. So this person's name was Haridas Thakur. So when I decided to talk about this day for yesterday, because it was last minute notice, I was not aware that this topic was discussed in some part previously at NUS by Hrudaya Chaitanya Prabhu. I had already forgotten. So, if something will be repeated, because I was honored when I was sent the slides also of Hrudaya Chaitanya Prabhu by Sri Ram Gopal Prabhu. So, I picked up some of the pictures and some things from him. So, I'm just going to take some of the pastimes or part of his life and then we'll see how does it help us. Why did I start with this topic or why did I think of this topic? Because last week we celebrated Holy Name Week. It's a World Holy Name Week, right? Why do we give so much of importance to chanting of Holy Name? Bhagavad Gita ends at, what is the most important last message of Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharman paritejya mamekam sharanam raja. Right? Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Right? So, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita ends the last final instruction he gives that just surrender unto me. But how to surrender, that is shown by different devotees of the Lord, which is described how to do that. Bhagavad Gita says, what to do. How to do is taught in Bhagavatam. And that's why Bhagavatam is called as practical journal book. And what is the final last shloka of Bhagavatam? The last shloka is Nama Sankirtana Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanas Tan Namami Hari Param. It says, this is the last shloka, that Nama Sankirtanam Yasya, by whose name, chanting of whose name, what happens? Sarva Papa Pranashanam. All the sinful reactions are destroyed. Pranamo Dukkha Shamanas, because it has got strength to deliver or liberate you from all the miseries of life. Tan Namami Hariparam. Whose is this name? About all these glories is said, Hari's name, Lord's holy name. So the final conclusion of Bhagavatam is that one should chant the holy name, and that is the process specifically given for Kali Yuga, right? So we have heard so many times that there are hundreds of scriptures given, but for Kali Yuga, the scripture which is most relevant is called as, one of the Upanishads is called as Kali Santaran Upanishad. Kali means the age of Kali. Santaran word means, what does the Santaran word mean? Cross, to cross over or to swim over. Upanishad, the word, the scripture which helps a person in Kali Yuga to cross over this world, that instructions are given in Kali Santarana Upanishad. And in Kali Santarana Upanishad it is mentioned that in Kali Yuga the best way of crossing over this material life is chanting the holy name of the Lord. And the mantra which is given is 16 worded mantra, which is combination of Hare Krishna and Ram. So we know that mantra as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So many times people feel that why you chant only this mantra, why not other mantras? But the reason given is that there are so many mantras which are effective. For Kali Yuga, mantra meditation is the process. But why only you chant this mantra? Why don't you chant Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama? Why don't you chant Ram Nam? Something like that. There are so many bona fide mantras and all of them are powerful. But one mantra is specifically given all empowerment for every yuga. Satyuga, the power, most powerful mantra was in Satyuga, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then it became Treta Yuga. So in Treta Yuga, Lord Ram's name was most powerful. In Dwapar Yuga, the most powerful mantra was Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. And now in Kali Yuga, the most powerful mantra given according to scripture is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So for Kali Yuga, the Mahamantra is this. For Dwapar Yuga, the Mahamantra was Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. So that is why we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's not fanatic that we just like this mantra. Okay? And then it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that Parikshit Maharaj is asking Saint Sukadeva Goswami that you are describing that this Kali Yuga is going to be full of so many miseries. He is going to die in 7 days. But still he is so much concerned about the people of Kali Yuga that he is asking that what will happen to these people if it's going to be so bad. They are going to be having less number of years to live. They will have less memory. They will be always fighting. They will be always troubled. Their mind will be disturbed. So Parikshit Maharaj was going to die in few days. But his heart was paining just to hear that what is going to come now in Kali Yuga. This was just the beginning and he is going to go. But this is one of the qualities of a saintly person. They are concerned about others. So he asked Sukadeva Goswami, what will happen if the Kali Yuga is full of so many faults, so many difficulties, how people will get delivered? And that time, Sukadeva Goswami said, Kali Dosha Nidhe Raja Asti Eka Mahanguna Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. What does it mean? Kali Dosha Nidhe Raja. Kali is Dosha Nidhi. What do you mean by Nidhi? Ocean. Nidhi is ocean of reservoir. So, it's Dosh Nidhi. Kali is the ocean of faults. Asti Ek Mahan Guna. But there is one good quality in Kali Yuga. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya. Eva word means? Only. Only by chanting the holy name of Krishna. He did not say Bhagavan ka naam. Kirtana eva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajet. One person will get liberated from all these miseries of Kali Yuga. And that is why there is one very nice scriptural song which is called as Kevalashtakam. So many of you might have heard this before. So I just picked up the two most important shloka from this, which I really felt at this moment. All shlokas are very, very beautiful. But I just picked up two and then we said that we'll chant this together. So the shlokas are there in front of you and you can chant with me together only. It says like this. Madhuram madhure bhyo pi mangale bhyo pi mangalam pavanam pavane bhyo pi hare Mahadukham, Dukhadukham.
Vandata Kachartham Vispritam Ratna Harinameva Kevalam.
How does it start? It says Maduram Madhure Bhupi. Maduram word means, Madhur means sweet. Sweetest of all sweet thing. Mangale Bhupi Mangalam. Mangal means auspicious. All auspicious, the topmost of all auspicious thing. Pavanam Pavanebhi. What do you mean by Pavanam? One which purifies. Out of all purifying thing, the topmost of purifying thing. And what is that? Hare Naam Eva Kevalam. The chanting of the holy name is the sweetest of all, the most purifying and most auspicious for everyone. And one part which I really like when I go through this Ashtakam is Aho Dukkham Mahadukkham. There is one Mahadukkha. There are so many miseries, but there is one which is the topmost of sad thing which is there. What is that? Dukkha Dukkha Taram Yata. So many difficulties and so many painful things are there in our life. But out of that, there is one thing which is most painful to the heart. What is that? Kach Artham Vismritam Ratna. Kach Artham. What do you mean by Kach Artham means?
Glass. Like glass.
Like glass. Artham equal to Kach means glass. Like a glass. What happens? Vismritam Ratna. We think or we have forgotten that the holy name is like Ratna. Ratna means a real jewel. And how do we treat it? Like a piece of glass. And that is what is the Mahadukham. The most sad thing in this Kali Yuga, that once we have been given this holy name, the real jewel, not understanding the value of the holy name, what do? We treat it like a piece of glass. And how do we treat a piece of glass? We won't care for it, we just throw it. We won't have any faith on it. Right? That this thing can do something good to us. And same thing we are doing when we tell people, just chant, it will be nice, it will give you relief from all miseries. What is the answer? How can it be so simple? Right? Our minds are full of so much of doubt that we think like this. And that is the greatest troublesome thing which is described here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shishashakam says that one should chant the holy name of the Lord. But then there are few qualities which are described. Trinadapi sunechena tarorivas sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We all want to chant holy name, even if we understand that, okay, I accept that chanting the holy name is good for me. But how can I practice myself into that one that I can actually am able to chant the holy name nicely? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very clearly given the formula, right? If you want to make a cake, right? It is given how much of butter, how much of flour, how much of baking powder, right? If you perfectly follow the procedure, then you are able to get the results. So we also have been given this formula that chanting the holy name of Krishna in Kali Yuga is most powerful weapon to get over this material world's miseries. But how do we get to that level where we can chant properly? And these are the qualities which have been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi sunichena. It means one should become humbler than a blade of grass, tolerant than a tree, give all respect to others and expect none in return. When we do this, that time we will be able to chant the holy name constantly. Now this shloka was perfectly shown, exemplified in the life of that personality whose pastime I'm going to share with you. His name was Haridas Thakur. And that is why he could chant Krishna's name constantly. So we'll take one of these qualities and see some of his pastimes. So who is this Haridas Thakur? He was born in a Muslim family in a place which is now in Bangladesh. What is the one lesson which we can think of, that he was born, he is a Namacharya, so he is a topmost representative of a person, Acharya, who taught us by his example how to perfect life by chanting, but he is born in a Muslim family.
What is the lesson which strikes us at this moment? Correct. Vaishnavism, or basically remembering the Lord and perfecting the Lord or chanting the holy name, is much beyond these external levels of caste and creed. So there is no restriction that, oh, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim. No, these mantras are not Hindu, nor they're Muslim. So he was born, but it is described that originally Haridas Thakur is Brahmaji himself. Lord Brahma is who? He is the creator of this universe. In previous yuga, it is described that when Lord Brahma was observing the pastime of Lord Krishna, when Lord Krishna was having his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan with small his friends in Gokul, one day it happened that Lord Brahma saw Krishna playing with his friends. It was the next day, the same day when Krishna had killed Aghasur. So when the Aghasur was such a big demon, when he was killed, all the demigods were very happy. Wow, finally Aghasur is killed. And everybody was very joyful. So Lord Brahma said, wow, who is this person who finally killed Aghasur? Let me go and see. So Lord Brahma came. And he's seeing that this small boy, he killed. And everybody is saying that he is the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And he was just not able to keep faith at that time. So we all know the pastime that he stole the cows, he stole the cowherd boys for 1 year. And finally, he thought that it's going to bewilder Krishna. But finally, who was bewildered? Lord Brahma himself. Because Krishna, from his own body, manifested all the cows and cowherd boys. And they all are going home without creating any disturbance in Vrindavan for 1 year. And this finally got Brahma back to his senses, that this small boy who looks like an ordinary child, he's not ordinary, but he is my own Lord Shri Krishna. And that time he comes and falls at the feet of Lord Krishna. And then he says, very important next lesson. Because I'm a creator, because I have so much of power, I forgot who gave me this power. And because of this position, I made this mistake. So, let me become humble in your pastimes. And that time, he was thinking that I became proud of my position and prestige. I don't know how will I be able to recover from such a grave offense towards Supreme Lord. Lord gave me second chance, but this time I will not take any chance. I will appear in an outcast family. So he basically begs Krishna that now take away all this position from me. Take away anything which can give you a good reason to be proud of. I don't want to be born in a good family. I don't want to be respected. I don't want to be a big person. He becomes a small Muslim. He is born in a Muslim family and he was very, very humble person. Actually, it is described that he goes and he does tapasya in Mayapur, Navadvip, and then he pleases the Lord, and then Lord tells him that, okay, I grant you that boon that you will be born. But this is a humility of Lord Brahma. If we do mistake, we can maximum say, so what we'll do? We say, sorry, maaf kar do yaar, itna bhi mat le lo headache. Right? What's the big deal about it? Right? To err is human. Something like that. But he wanted to make sure that he does not repeat it. And that is what one thing we should do in life. Whenever we all, do any one of us feel here that we do mistakes? Or we are free from mistakes? So when we realize that we have done mistake, what does happen to us? What do we do? When we realize that, when I did some mistake, what happens?
Get punished.
Repent for it. Try to correct it. Never repeat it. Perfect. These are the four things we should do. Not one thing, but all four things. First is recognize. Best part is that you do mistake and you don't even recognize it. Okay, so first stage is at least recognize it. Second is, as Madhuri said, regret. Feel bad.
that yes, I did something wrong, I did hurt somebody, feel bad about it. If you think, oh, it was there, but you don't feel bad, it's okay now. Why worry so much? If you don't feel bad, you are not going to do anything about it. Third thing is, as he said, correct it. It means you have to go and ask, do a measure which is a corrective measure. If you have read a book of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, it was described, I had attended one seminar, Stephen Covey's, says that if you step, he was just giving an example, that if you step in a train on somebody's foot, what do we do immediately? We take our foot back and say, sorry. He said, that is just recognizing, but not exactly correcting. You cannot obviously tell that, okay, put your foot now on mine. That's not the right thing. But according to him, what he teaches, that you should say, I can understand that by accidentally stepping on your foot, I have hurt you. And I'm sorry for that. That is a real way of at least saying sorry. But we just don't want to take the whole responsibility. But just by saying sorry, we do not take responsibility. So first thing is recognize, feel bad. Third thing is correct. Correct means go and express your regret. And fourth thing, as she said, reinstate. Reinstate means never repeat it again. And that is what exactly Lord Brahma decided, that he does not want to take any chance of repeating it. And that's why he himself was begging to become part or be born in such a way that there is no chance of him becoming proud. So then he comes back as Haridas Thakur when in Kali Yuga the Lord comes, Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is described, this all things, all descriptions are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes this very beautiful thing, that he says, Gaurange rasange gane nitya siddha kori mane se jaya brajendra sutta pasa. What does it mean? I think Venkateshwari can understand, right? You want to say? This Gaurange rasange gane nitya siddha kori mane. Those who are very close associates of the Lord, they are nitya siddhas, where our heart has to accept that first. Take it, understand that. And when we understand that they are nitya siddhas and when we hear and chant about their glories, then that person can become dear to Rajendra Nandan Krishna. It's very important that to please the Lord, we should understand the glories, hear and read about his devotees. And after describing the glories of Haridas Thakur, the author writes that anyone who hears and describes the glories of Haridas Thakur will surely achieve Krishna Prem at the end of this life. So we'll go over those qualities, pastimes, one-on-one pastimes of his life, that how he was so humble. He was staying for some time in place called Jagannath Puri. Everybody knew in Jagannath Puri, and all the devotees knew that he was a great devotee. He had complete control over his senses. He was pure-hearted Vaishnava. And there's nobody better than him to actually go and have darshan of Lord Jagannath. But traditionally, in Lord Jagannath's temple, those who are not officially born as Hindus are not allowed. And he, staying for years together in Jagannath Puri, never tried to go in the temple to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. Not only that, he did not try, he considered himself, actually genuinely thought that he is not qualified to even enter the Lord's temple. If any one of us have been to Jagannath Puri, or for that matter for any temple, what do we do first? We go, get fresh, and first thing we want to go and see the Lord. As soon as we come back, we say, ah, darshan ho gaya. Apna darshan ho gaya. Badrinath ki darshan. So many temples, wherever we go, Tirupati. We never ever think once, do we have qualification to go in front of the Lord? Right? But he was so humble that he never thought genuinely that he has that qualification. And what happens when a person is naturally humble? Krishna reciprocates.
right? It is described, it's just simple physics law, right? We connect two beaker, right? Long beaker. You connect them with a pipe. You put a very small amount of water in one, you put another beaker, you fill up, fill. And as soon as you connect, what happens? The water from the bigger container, the where there is more water, starts flowing. The speed of flow is proportional to difference in the pressure on the two sides. Correct? Is this the physics principle? Right? Lord is always great. More we become humble, the pressure or the speed at which we will attract the mercy becomes more. That's time we start thinking, I am also great, we start losing the mercy. And this was his position. He was so humble and it was genuine humility. That how did Lord reciprocate? Every single day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally would come to Haridas Thakur to give him darshan. And he would personally bring Jagannath's Mahaprasad to Haridas Thakur. And that is why it is said in Shastras, do not try to see God. Try to act in such a way that God wants to see you. Don't run here and there thinking, oh, I will go and have darshan. Act in such a way. Just see that if you stamp on two, three, four people and then you enter the temple, are these people not the extension of Lord? They also have God in their Lord in their heart. If you want to stamp over them, if you don't want to respect them, is the Lord going to be happy to see you? You can say, I will be happy to see the Lord. Is Lord going to be happy to see you? No. But when we respect the spark of Supreme Lord in every single living entity, then Lord will reciprocate. And that is what is exemplified in scriptures. And this is one of the major principles of Vaishnava philosophy. And that is called as Jiva Daya. The basic philosophy is there are three principles. We'll go over it. And this is one of the principles. It's called Jiva Daya. Have compassion and mercy for every single living entity. So this is how he was so humble that he exemplified. There are so many incidences, but I've just picked up one for each one. And then we'll go to the next one. Next we heard that the shloka says, Trunadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna. It means one should be tolerant, more tolerant than a tree. Right? So how he was so tolerant? It is described that when he was staying in that place, I think it's a place was called Benapol. There, when he was staying, the Qazi of that area was Muslim. And this person born Muslim, but now he was taking Lord Krishna's name and he was so pure by heart that he was attracting the attention of so many villagers. Everybody knew that he is so simple, he is really pure. So people were actually becoming very favorable to him. So this Qazi, who was Muslim, could not tolerate that. So he complained to, first he complained once to him that do not chant or I will take away your life. But Haridas would not stop chanting. So then Qazi complained to the king. King is called Nawab. And he told that this person should be killed. Because he is an ill or a dhabba on our Muslim community. That being Muslim, he is chanting the Lord's name, Hindu God's name. And he is not even reciprocating with us. And it means that he is converted to Hindu. And the only punishment is death. You should be killed. So Nawab caught Haridas Thakur, he was through his soldiers, he brought him and told him that just looking at him, the king realized that this person is very saintly. Darshan pavitra karo e tomara gun. Just by seeing him, Nawab realized that this person is very good. But I am forced by my Muslim Qazi and other people that I should punish him. So Nawab gently first tells him that please stop chanting Hindu God's name. You are a Muslim, you should follow the Muslim scriptures. So he says that scriptures does not say Allah is same, Ram is same, Krishna is same. There is no difference. And I cannot stop. It's not me that I can stop. It's just continuously that it comes from my mouth that I will chant. And that time, the Nawab gets very upset and he says, I will cut you into 100 pieces and every 100 piece into further 100 pieces. And that time Harida Sakur says that every small piece of my body will still continue to chant the holy name. That is the faith of a devotee. You do whatever you want to do. Asrishiva Padaratam Pilashtimam. But I will be your surrendered soul. Nawab was very upset. So he, along with Kazi, decided that he should be beaten up into 22 marketplaces. So those times, this is 500 years ago, they would punish in public. Why? So that others get lesson. So he was punished to get beaten up in 22 marketplaces. And most of the people would not survive more than 2, 3, 4 marketplaces. They would beat so badly that people would die. And when he was beaten very badly, he went on for how many marketplaces? All 22. He was still alive. He was continuously chanting. And not only was he chanting, what was he doing? He was praying that let these people not be affected as offensive to me. Please forgive them. It reminds us immediately of Lord Jesus. Please forgive them as they do not know what they are doing. Similarly, Haridas Thakur was continuously praying in his heart that these people are innocent. They are just carrying out the order of Nawab to save their own life. Let them not suffer because of me. And that is the compassion of a pure Vaishnava's heart. If somebody comes and gives us one slap, what do? Our heart starts itching to give it back. If it is possible, we'll give that same time. If not, we'll wait for an opportunity when we can give two back. Correct? But this is the compassion of a pure Vaishnavas. They don't only tolerate, they forget, but they forgive. And at the end of 22 marketplaces, the executioner, they were so tired, and they started crying. They fell at his feet and they said that I can understand nobody ordinary can survive this type of execution. We now understand that you are not ordinary. But if Nawab comes to know that we couldn't kill you, he will kill us. And that time Haridas Thakur says, oh, my living means death to you? What is the use of me living? Do not worry. You see how I stop living and I will leave my life. And just to save the life of the executioner, he goes into samadhi and all the symptoms of life ceases to be. And that he told that at the end I will die and you just throw my body into Ganga. So as soon as this executioner saw that actually he is lifeless, they felt very bad. But they put his body into Ganga and they went back and they told Nawab that we killed him and he has been thrown into Ganga. And after a while, when the body was floating, Haridas Thakur came back to life and then he came out to another place called Fulya. And when the news reached Nawab, now Nawab realized that he is no ordinary. But this is his quality of tolerance. Not only he tolerated, but he forgave the executioner and Nawab. And this is how he attracted the mercy of the Lord. Giving all respect to others. Those who give respect to us, it's very easy to respect them. Right? But if somebody comes and disrespects us, then to respect them is very difficult. Right? And to respect human beings is still possible. To respect lower beings than you, it's something which we have to consciously train ourselves. Right? And that is where the mercy principle comes. We think just because we are more powerful, we have more strength, we take the life of innocent animals, thinking that we are better than them. But for God's eye, there is no difference. For God, there is no difference whether the soul is either in a human body or a demigod body or an animal body. We have no right to cross over our rules and regulations. Haridas Thakur, when he came out to Fulya, he was staying in a place, very small hut, and he started chanting his holy name constantly. And slowly, slowly, many people started coming and associating with him.
But in the gufa, the cave where he was staying, they saw that there was a very poisonous cobra snake also staying there. So the others, those who were coming, they started becoming a little anxious. How to go and take association of Haridas when he is staying in a cave where there is cobra? What if we get? We also will be scared, right? So people were scared. So once they were discussing and they requested Haridas, this, please come and stay somewhere else because here there is cobra in your cave and we get very scared. Can you please move somewhere else? And what was Haridas' answer? Haridas said, okay, if that is what will please all of you, let the cobra live here and we will go. And when they are discussing this in front of everybody's eyes, what happened? Cobra also was listening to the discussion. We think that they don't understand. But cobra came and slithered out of the cave and left the cave so that Haridas Thakur can continue to stay there. This is what is compassion for every living entity. When we have that, Krishna will reciprocate. Many times we think that these animals do not understand. These birds don't understand. But no, they also have understanding, they also have feeling. Probably they cannot speak the language what we speak. Nor do we speak the language what they speak. So how do we think that we are better? When they must be speaking in their community, they must be thinking these humans are fools. Right? Full possibility. Probably that must be the fact. But we think ourselves very intelligent. But it's very simple common sense that they have equal living right and we should have that courtesy to let them live according to their needs. And when we start respecting them, you will see the harmony coming into the society and in the whole world. Now because of so many different things which are going on, it's complete harmony of the ecology is going right. And we are nobody else but responsible. Only one species which is responsible, right? The day we start giving respect to every living entity, this will stop. Last is expecting no respect in return. There was an incident which happened that Haridas Thakur was invited in an assembly of Brahmanas to give talk. And they were discussing about the glories of the holy name. And with full faith and conviction, obviously quoting the scriptures, Haridas Thakur made a statement. He said that anyone who even chants once Krishna's name, even offensively, that person will be relieved of all the sins and can also get liberation. When this was heard by the Brahmanas, they were very furious. They thought, how is this possible? That even if when you chant Krishna's name once with offenses, not in a pure state, you can also get relieved of all the sins and you can also go up to Mukti. And there was little bit of unrest. But all the Brahmanas knew the position of Haridas Thakur, that he has full knowledge of what he is speaking, and they accepted. Except one person whose name was Gopal Chakravarti. He anyhow was harboring lot of envy in his heart for Haridas Thakur when his name and fame and glory was increasing. So, obviously, when that envy was rooted there, this was a fanning of that spark when he got that chance to get up in that assembly and started blaspheming Haridas Thakur. What are you saying? Chanting of the holy name has to be pure to go to the stage of liberation. It cannot be possible what statement you are making. Haridas Thakur was very simple and humble. He just kept quiet. He did not answer. But Gopal Chakravarti, in his anger, he said, if what you are saying is not correct, I will cut off your nose. And then with that anger, he just walked out. Obviously, very soon he was thrown out of his job. But how Krishna reciprocated, very soon after this incident, this Gopal Chakravarti, who was known for having very beautiful bodily features, was a very young but proud Brahmana, he was attacked by leprosy, and in next 7 days his nose fell off. And this is how Krishna showed the protection to his devotee. No need to go and cut somebody's nose. No need to think. Harigasakur did not even think bad about Gopal Chakravarti. But Lord knows what to do, what time. We need not worry about those things. What is taught here is, you give respect to others, do not expect anything in return. Have faith in Lord, and Lord will do whatever is required. So these are the qualities which he showed. Humility, tolerance, giving all respect to others, and never expected anything in return. And these are the four qualities which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally describes that are important to make a person possible, or the mind being purified, so that he can chant Krishna's name constantly. How it was shown? In his life, complete sense control. Last few weeks we have been discussing in our Bhagavad Gita discussion the shlokas from second chapter of Bhagavad Gita from 62-63 onwards, where we are talking about sense control, right? Stay in midst of agitating world, to remain sense controlled. How easy it is for us? It's not easy, right? If you go to Himalayas where there are no advertisements and if there are no titillating things happening, it's still maybe relatively okay, right? But things are happening in front of you all the time. How can you keep your mind focused? It is difficult. It is difficult even after so much of practices, right? But Haridas Thakur taught by his life, when we chant Krishna's holy name, having the sense control is as easy as a child's play. What happened in his life? Again, a person, a Brahmana called Ramchandra Khan, was so envious of increasing name and fame and glory of Haridas Thakur that he said that I must devise a plan to break his glory, to nullify and maybe to defame him. So he called a few prostitutes and told them that the last weapon which is most difficult for any person to come over is lust. That's why Krishna says, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhavaha. One thing which binds a person or binds a jiva into this material world, there's one thing, and that one thing is lust. After doing tapasya for thousands of years, Vishwamitra Muni heard. Did he see Menaka? No. What did he do? He just heard chum, chum, and all the thousands of years of tapasya was gone. It's not easy. And that was not even Kali Yuga. Now in Kali Yuga, what to speak? Our own mind is so much strong. But in this same Kali Yuga, Haridas Thakur was challenged. Ramchandra Kaviraj sent one of the prostitutes whose name was Lakshmi Hira. She was so beautiful and she was completely confident that in one day she will break all the vows of Haridas Thakur. So she said, I will go and break his vows. So Ramchandra was very happy. He said, okay, you go, I'm following with the police people. And as soon as we catch you red-handed, I'm going to arrest him. So Lakshmi Hira said, don't worry. First, let me just go. Let me entice him. Let me unite with him. You can follow the next day. I will make him my slave. She was completely confident. Ramchandra was very happy. He said, okay. So first day she approached at the time of dusk. And Haridas Thakur was staying in the hut. And he had a vow that he would chant every day 300,000 names of Krishna. That would take about 22 hours a day. So when he was chanting, this beautiful lady came in front and then started telling Haridas that, oh, the best of Brahmanas, you are so young, you are so attractive, and my heart is attracted towards you. And it's my desire to unite with you. If I do not get what I desire, it will be very difficult for me to keep myself alive. My life
my soul and my body will not be remain together. So be merciful to me and fulfill my desire. And then, with all possible feminine beauty and gestures and words, she was trying to entice Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur told her that, let me finish my rounds. As soon as I finish my rounds, I will fulfill all your desires. You just sit here till I finish my rounds. So with complete hope, she stayed there. When Haridas Thakur continued to chant, and she was making different gestures, showing different parts of her body, but without getting disturbed, Haridas Thakur continued to chant. By the time he finished his round, it was already becoming early morning. So he told Lakshmidhira that, I'm sorry, I told you I will fulfill all your desires, but it's become early morning. So please come again tomorrow. And tomorrow I will fulfill your desires. Same thing was repeated on the second day. She came at the evening time, he was chanting. She kept on waiting while he was chanting and she was listening to holy name coming from the mouth of a devotee. And again it became early morning. And that day she was really feeling sad that, is he really going to finish his rounds someday? So Haridas Thakur said, today I promise, tomorrow you will come, I will surely fulfill your desire without any doubt. Please come tomorrow. Third day when Lakshmidhira came and she was sitting, her mind had already started changing. And by the time Haridas Thakur finished his chanting, she fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur, sobbing and crying bitterly, and explained and she told that, actually I came here to break your vows because Ramchandra Khan wanted me to help him in this conspiracy so that you can be arrested. Her heart changed in just matter of 3 days, and she was not even chanting. She was just listening to holy name which was being chanted by a pure devotee. And what was Haridas' answer? That was the most amazing. Haridas said that, I was fully aware of this conspiracy of Ramchandra Khan. And that day I decided to leave this place and go somewhere else. But then I thought, because you are coming, why should I not let Krishna's mercy flow? And I stayed here for 3 more days just to deliver you. Now that your heart has changed, chant the holy name of the Lord. She gave away all the wealth, whatever she had. She shaved her head. And then she took initiation from Haridas Thakur and she started staying in the same hut in front of Tulsi Maharani and started chanting same 300,000 names every day. This type of sense control is possible in Kali Yuga by chanting the holy name, which was not even available to Vishwamitra and Saugari Muni, who were doing tapasya for thousands and thousands of years, staying away in jungle. Practically what we see, we cannot do like Vishwamitra Muni. It's not even required, it's not even beneficial. Staying in this world, being part of this world, still when we chant, Krishna will give us intelligence, determination and sincerity by which the sense control will come as a byproduct. It will come as a byproduct without even making extra efforts. And this is the last thing. It's a very nice thing because this is what is the message of Haridas Thakur for us. Once Haridas Thakur was arrested by king and he was taken to prison. So when all the prisoners, when they heard that Haridas Thakur is going to come in the prison, they were very happy. Because they had heard the glories of this saint and they knew that this person says, even when we will have darshan, all our desires are going to be fulfilled. So they were very happy when Haridas Thakur was being brought inside. And they started putting out their hand and they were saying, be merciful to us, be merciful to us, bless us, bless us. O saint, bless us. And when Haridas Thakur saw all of them, he made this sentence. He said, just remain as you are. Now if you are in prison and if you are told, just remain as you are, they all were shattered. We were thinking that he will give us blessings and something, hamara bhi bhala ho jayega, right?
Something nice will happen and you are telling us just remain as you are. Means you want us to remain in prison forever. And that time, Haridas Thakur said, I have not given you any bad blessings. I have given you something good. Try, be thoughtful and understand. At this moment, when you are in the prison, but your mind is constantly thinking of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. You are always praying to the Supreme Lord and you are never forgetting Krishna. And that is what I am talking about. Be as you are, or you remain as you are. In this material world, we are no different. We seem like moving around freely in this world, but we are not. We are also staying in the prison house of Maya Devi. We might be in different classes. Somebody might be in class A, class B, class C, but finally it is a prison house. And the jailer is Maya Devi. She's not going to let us go out very easily. Only way to get out of this prison house is remember and chant the holy name of the Lord. Why and how? Because when we take shelter of Krishna's holy name, when Lord Krishna is pleased, Durga Devi or Maya Devi, who is a prisoner of this Durga or this material world, will let us go free, because she knows that we are not going to be like a dog who is... See, even the municipality, they don't want to take charge of... They want to take charge of only the street dogs. If the dog which has got neck belt, they will not come in touch. They know that some master is there. Somebody is taking care, don't worry. They will be taken care by somebody. Similarly, the day we become Krishna's dog, Maya Devi will let us go, because she knows, she releases us, we are going to run to Krishna. We are not going to create havoc in her world here. Till we are not an obedient souls, she tries to keep us captured. The day we become obedient to follow the strict scriptural injunctions and we are going to run to Krishna, she will happily let us go. But till that time, she will always keep on testing us. Are we really sincere to go to Him? I've told this story many times, but for those who are new or those who have forgotten, this is a real story which had happened a few years ago. One of the sannyasis of our movement, when he was a small boy, he's German. So when he was a small boy, in the vacation, to earn the pocket money, he would go and put newspaper in people's house. So in one person's house, they had a big German shepherd dog. And as a child, he was very scared of this dog. And if you know, like, where did we go recently? Even when you pass by, the door is closed. Now, we went to Varsha's house. The door is closed. We are going to our friend's house. The next door people, they have a dog inside. The door is closed. The dog cannot see us. But the dog is so sensitive. The dog can make out from the footsteps, right? So, dog starts barking very loudly. If any one of you have got this experience. So, you also get very scared. So, this child... Mara, as that time as a child, would get very scared. So he would just from far, he would just throw the newspaper and run to the next house. He did not have to do anything with this house because he was very scared of this dog. And if you know, German Shepherds are very big dogs, right? But 30th day, end of the month, he has to go inside to get the money. Otherwise, what's the point in throwing the newspaper, right? So the day he had to go in, he was, oh no, how do I go inside? So he had to really gather courage. And he was just near the gate and he saw that the dog was like really looking with lot of bright eyes, almost ready as if it's going to jump, and it's barking. So he gathered courage, he opened the door and he ran inside, and the dog was barking and following, and he was like really trying to save his life and ran inside. And inside, when he reached the hall, the master was, the person who is the owner of the house, was sitting on the sofa reading the newspaper. So he came running. Save me, tell your dog. So the master just turned and said, Timmy. So what did Timmy do? What did the dog do? Just immediately, quietly sat down. And then he asked, so who are you? So he said, oh, I'm the person who is throwing the newspaper and I've come here to collect my salary. So he said, oh, sure. And then he gave him the money and then he was talking. And when he's talking so nicely, seeing that the master is talking to this boy nicely,
slowly, what did the dog do? Dog came and started licking the foot of this child. And this is what the sannyasi was saying, that the same dog which was ready to jump over me, was barking at me, when he sees that I am getting favor of his master, the same dog starts licking the feet of the same person. Similarly, Mayadevi we always feel is always barking at us, making us fearful. Our life is there, always running here and there because of Mayadevi. But the day she says that we are favored by Lord, who is none other than her own master, she comes and starts licking the feet of devotees. And this is what is given in scriptures, that Mukti Devi stands with folded hands at the door of a devotee asking for a service. And a devotee says, I don't care, I don't want Mukti. But Mukti Devi wants to serve a devotee. So this is a blessing for us. Haridas Thakur has given. So again and again the same message comes, that problems we all know, solutions we know, chanting of the holy name. How do we practice? By applying this formula which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. Try to be humble. Humility does not mean low self-esteem. Humility does not mean low self-esteem. It's different. Genuine humility means knowing your position in relation to the Lord and other living entities. As simple as that. Be humble. Tolerate the slashes of our own karmic reactions. Face it with prayerful mood to Krishna. Give all respects to others. And by chanting the holy names, surely one day we will be able to cross over this ocean of material world. And then Mayadevi will come. We don't want that she comes and licks our feet, but it happens. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes. The same like Arjuna, right? Arjuna's way, it was seeming as if only the poverty and begging business is coming to his way, right? She asked a question that something when the circumstances are around us, do we take it as part of our reactions of our own karma and just accept it? Or if we think that, oh, we something more, then we should fight for it. How do we can differentiate? First thing, depending on our position in society, like Arjuna, right? There is something which is due to you. Whatever is due to you will come anyways. But if we are supposed to do Swadharma, then we should fight for it. But difference is over-endeavor. Don't do over-endeavor. So if we can say like this, that, oh, if this much amount of salary is due to me, it will come. I may not go to lab and I don't need to work. If it is due to me, it will come. No, it's not like this. But does it fall into your dharma? Then do it. If it falls beyond your dharma, then do not over-endeavor for doing it. That is how we differentiate. So, when we know what is our position in this material world, what is due to us or what is according to the scriptures our dharma, then we should do the dharma. That is what exactly Krishna told Arjuna. Do your Swadharma. Swadharma, at this moment, your dharma as a Kshatriya is to fight for religious without being attached whether you will win and get the kingdom or whether you will die and you might have to leave this world. Don't be attached. But as dharma of your Varna and Ashram as a Kshatriya, it's your duty to fight for religion. Similarly, we need to fight when it is required, according to our dharma. Need not always, like, fight does not mean like sword, like we have to put our endeavors. So wherever our endeavors are due, we should put the endeavors. Prabhupada used to say that if a lion also does not put endeavor and think that I am the king of the forest and the prey will come and fall in my mouth, a deer will come, pass urine and go away. And he's not going to get his food, right? Even the lion being the king has to put the endeavor. So one must do endeavor. Only thing that one should never over-endeavor. Do your part and then leave it up to Lord to reciprocate. Okay. Anything else? Any comments?
So let's time Arjuna also chanting Krishna's name, but he is also doing this karma.
Correct.
So in our life also we have some karma to do.
Right.
So how we compare our
Prabhuji is asking a very nice question, practical question, that the way Arjuna had his responsibility, we also have our dharma in our society, right? As a student, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a person who is working in your lab or in your company, you will have, each one of us have our position. So how do we balance that? What's most important thing, again Krishna only says in Karmanya Vadhikaraste. Probably the problem is that people speak only the half of the shloka. Do your duty, whatever is due, do not be attached to the results. That is the way to do it. So first is, understand what is your duty. So if you are in a family life, you have a responsibility towards your family members. As a job, you have a responsibility towards the company. So whatever is due responsibility, we all have a job profile, right? When we join, they are going to give us a job profile. This is what is expected out of you. We have to work for that. But do not be attached to the result. The result, whatever is due, will come to us. It means, in simple terms, if you do not get promotion, work if it is due to you. But if you do not get so stressed that you stop chanting holy name. Right? We all are supposed to, like, we progress in our life, right? So we expect, if you have a family, and, you know, as a family member, you always think that, okay, now the wife is there, so you should get a child. So it's a part of dharma, you do your duty. But if a child does not come because of circumstances, because of the will of the providence, do not over-endeavor and become lamentful or so stressful that you forget Lord's name. Pura din bas wahi sochna hai, ye kyun nahi ho raha hai, wo kyun nahi ho raha hai, why this is happening to me, why this is not happening to me. And then you forget about God. No, do your duty. Remember, whatever is due will come, but I have to do my duty. And then, that is what exactly is the meaning in half of the time people say, Karmanya Vadhikaraste Ma Phaleshu Kadachanam. Do not expect the result. But important is that, do your duty and offer the results to Krishna. And then He will give whatever is required. So we should do our duties without it, because most of us are family people. We are not sadhus and saffron, those who are going to go to jungle, and, you know, we have a responsibility, we must do our responsibility. If we will not do our responsibility, if any one of us behave irresponsible while becoming or trying to take up Krishna consciousness process, we will set a bad example. People will feel that because they have taken Krishna consciousness, because they are following Bhagavad Gita, they become irresponsible, they are not doing their duty. And people will not get inspired to take this process. So you must do our duty without fail, but do not over-endeavor. And leave the results to Krishna. He will take care. Yes,
can you clarify the dilemma between practicing humility and
low self-esteem. Right.
How is it complicated?
Yeah. This is very true. Like, being humble and not having low self-esteem. Because many times we have this thing in our mind that when we try to become humble, people are going to step over us, they're going to exploit us, and they're going to minimize us and go, right? And that is possible. But this is possible only when we have low self-esteem, not genuine humility. Genuine humility is defined as understanding one's position in the entire creation in relation to the Lord and to the other living entities. Okay, I'll give a simple example. If the Mafatlal company person, right, the owner, he has a fabrics, right? So they will always say that my fabric is the best and we do this and we have this color, whatever. They'll advertise in a nice way to sell. He says, oh, I have to be humble. Mine is the useless and most useless. The Vimal is better. Please use theirs. I'm most useless. Is this the way to behave? No. It's your duty to do whatever is rightful, obviously, rightful ways, but promote your work. And promote, that is a requirement, right? So that is external humility. External humility equals to low self-esteem. Internal humility means, yes, this is my position. If he is a CEO of the company, he cannot take the pure, oh, let me be the pure, you please sit on my chair, let me be humble. Right? No, the pure has to be pure, he has to do his work. If I am CEO, I have to do my work. But understanding what is my position, that is first thing. Secondly, when we understand that I am in this position because of the abilities given by Lord, we will not take any credit. Right? That will not let any pride come in us. And then, even in spite of being the topmost person in the world, you will still be humble. Because we do not take any pride, we do not take any credit. Anything which comes, we know it is because of the Lord who is giving us that ability. And then in that position when we will work, we will never be proud, we will remain humble. And there is no question of low self-esteem. Low self-esteem comes only because of false humility. I'm low, I'm fallen. No, the CEO cannot say I'm pure. But you are CEO, you are given the position because of the Lord. Understand that. There is no question. So never let others, allow others to exploit you, thinking I'm humble, I'm meek. No. If you allow others to exploit you, you are allowing others to exploit Krishna in your heart. You have to respect our own soul, which is also part and parcel of Krishna. We need to protect our own self-respect. Don't be egoistic. And that's why this college, do not have false ego. False ego is, ye mera hai, this is me. But we should have real ego. And what is real ego? I am not great, but my master is very great. So I have all the reason to be proud on Lord. That is real ego. We must have real ego. I am nobody, but my Lord is everybody. And I am nothing, but because I am connected to Him, He will protect me. So there is no question of having low self-esteem. Yes, Prabhu. Last question, because I think we will get delayed.
So you see that now, right? Krishna has Arjuna to fight, because if he won't fight, then the future, Duryodhana can hurt devotees. So he has to, he is advised to fight devotees, right? So that is why he fight against Duryodhana. Now if you see, like Arjuna's talk, when he was beaten up by the king, right? He haven't harmed, he is praying for the Mahabhu, like for the mercy, even though they are harming me, show mercy unto him, don't be in this one.
Super. This is such a beautiful question. Yes. This
now, if you see, take for a time. If you won't, if someone harms you, if you won't, that chances that you won't learn about
this. See, he has taken a very beautiful part of this. I'm thankful to you. He said that Arjuna, Duryodhana was trying to exploit him, right? And Krishna tells him that you fight. Contradiction to that, Haridas Thakur, when king tries to kill him, executioner, he is forgiving. Krishna could have told Arjuna also, forgive, I will give you another thing, don't worry, I'll take care of you. You forget and forgive. Why different things for different people? Correct? Krishna says, again in Bhagavad Gita, that one should act according to one's own nature. We all have our nature. Haridas Thakur was a Brahmana. Brahmana's nature is forget, forgive, and be always involved into scriptural activities. Kshatriya's nature is to
fight.
But then because your nature is to fight, fight for religion. If not, you will fight for wrong things. Exactly this Krishna told Arjuna. You are telling that you want to run away to the forest, but do you think that after going to forest you will beg? Because you have that itching, no, because you are a Kshatriya, so you will always have an itch in your hand. After begging for a few days, because begging is the business of a Brahmana, Kshatriya cannot beg. After a few days, you will start feeling itching and then you will start for wrong things. This is the nature. So because you are a Kshatriya, you have to fight, then better fight for a religious thing. And that is why he showed the Vishwarupa, he showed that everybody is killed already. It's not that I need you to kill anybody. It's already done by me. But because I need your Kshatriya nature to be engaged, I am giving you this opportunity. Take if you want. So we all have to have knowledge about our nature. Right? In simple words, I am just giving you an example. When a practical thing which had happened, I used to go, before 2 years, for almost 10 years, I was going for Barsana Eye Camp. We have an eye camp.
right? So hundreds of villagers, they come and they get admitted and we do free cataract for them. So we have a facility of about 100 admissions every day, and then they get discharged and other will come like that. Over 6 days, about 600 surgeries. So one night, it's very cold during February when we conduct this. So everybody has their bed and everybody has their rajai, right? The quilt. So one person was holding onto 1, 2, 3 quilt. Okay? So we have arranged 100 bed plus 100 quilts. We have taken over somebody else's quilt. So then another poor person whose quilt was taken away was shivering. It was night, it was cold, and we are on duty, right? So we have to see. So we are just requesting that person, excuse me, you know, like in Hindi, Baba, teen bahut ho gaya, unko bhi de do, unko bhi thandi lag raha hai, aapke baju wale hai, aapke gaon ke hai. But he is saying, I'm sorry, I won't give, I need this. And unluckily, we did not have any extra to take care of him. So over a period of time, like after half an hour, 1 hour, we think that we are not able to help this person and he's really shivering. So another person who was working with me, he went and he pulled one quilt. They said, sorry, manage the other two. And he gave it to them. And I was shocked that time. I said, this is compassion? Do you think this is compassion? He said, it's not compassion to me, it's compassion to the other person. Practically. So what I'm saying is, I'm not telling you to do these things. Just loudly sharing the path thing that it has to be broad vision. According to me, this was not compassionate act, you know, you pull out somebody. But if you do not do that, it's just trying to be selfish. So my nature was not allowing me to do this, but that person was a Kshatriya probably. My other person was helping me. He just pulled out and the person was okay even if they took quilt. Right? Otherwise, he was just trying to be more comfortable with three quilt. Right? So basically, I'm just saying that we have to understand our nature. Each one of us have a different nature. Somebody has a Kshatriya spirit. Somebody has Brahmana. They have that quality. Somebody wants to do business. You die, you cannot do business. Because we are not, that propensity or Vaishya is not there. You cannot do business. Find out what is your propensity and act accordingly. 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Shloka, I guess, from 40, 41, 42, 43, describes exactly what are the qualities and what are the work which should be done by Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Shudras. Before that, the qualities are given and what they should be doing is also given just in this verse, 18 point, I guess it's 40, 41, 42. Read there and see where you fit in over a period of time, we realize what is our nature. And then just act accordingly. Okay? Thank you very much. Namacharya Chira Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Thank you for coming and giving this opportunity for sharing this. And it was